والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. This is سورة الفجر, which is سورة number 89. يقول الله عز وجل والفجر, brother أبو ماهر, إن شاء الله the text. Let's have the first four or first five. Now, first five. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر. والفجر, by the dawn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by five things that will follow. First one is الفجر, by the dawn. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. The second one is وليال عشر. The second verse please. وليال عشر. Okay, by the dawn, there they are. By the dawn, meaning by the 10 nights. And inshallah we'll explain what's the opinions regarding these 10 nights inshallah in the discussion. But let's go now by the verses. By the 10 nights and by the even and the odd, والشفعي والوتر, and there will be different readings for والوتر, and also we'll talk about it. And fourthly, and by the night when it departs. And fifthly, there is a need in them, or indeed in them, ذلك قسم لذي حجر, indeed in them, in these oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by, there are sufficient proofs for men of understanding. So let's take them one by one. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Let's take them one by one. Five things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making oath with. The first is al-fajr. What is al-fajr? Al-fajr is the bright light which comes out from the eastern horizon, rises from the eastern horizon close to the time of rise of sun, of the sun. And usually the time between sunrise and this timing of this fajr is between 1 hour and 17 minutes to 1 hour and 32 minutes, and this also varies with seasons. So sometimes this period may increase, meaning between the dawn and sunrise, or it may decrease depending on which season we are talking about. This is the definition of al-fajr. And however, al-fajr is of two types. Al-fajr, sister Naila, jazakumullah khair, al-fajr is of two types. First, فجر صادق, truthful one. There is a truthful فجر. And the second is فجر كاذب, false or fake one. And what is being in this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is certainly swearing by the truthful فجر. And what's the difference between the الفجر الصادق, the truthful فجر, and الفجر الكاذب, and the false fajr? There are three differences. There are three main differences. First of all, al-fajr al-kadhib, the false fajr, it goes longitudinally in the, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, in the sky. It doesn't go lateral. It doesn't go lateral, longitudinal rather. However, the truthful fajr, it goes lateral, stretching from the north to the direction of the south. I have no idea, Brother Hamas, about this. So, now, the second difference, the second difference. So what is the first difference now? The first difference is that the false Fajr goes in a longitudinal direction. However, the truthful Fajr, it goes lateral, extending from the north to the south. The second Fajr, or the second difference rather, there is no there is no darkness. There is no darkness after the truthful Fajr. However, to the contrary, its brightness intensifies until the sun rises, and this is very important. Subhanallah. However, the false Fajr, after that false Fajr, darkness comes on, and that's why, it is called Fajrun Kadid, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, meaning a false Fajr, because it diminishes and then goes away. It diminishes and then it goes away. So this is the second type of difference. Now the third type of difference, the third difference, the truthful Fajr is connected to the horizon. However, as to the false Fajr, there is a darkness between it and the horizon. So this is the third type of difference between Al-Fajr al-Sadiq, the truthful Fajr, and Al-Fajr al-Kadib. And these are matters that are perceptual. People who go out in the wild, they can see that, and they see the difference which we are talking about. However, people in the cities, they can't know that. Why? Because city lights shield this difference. City lights shield these marks by which one can differentiate between the false and the truthful Fajr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now here is swearing by Al-Fajr. Why? Because it is the beginning of the daylight. The Fajr is the beginning of the daylight. This beginning of the daylight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an oath by it. Why? Because man can bring this Fajr to exist except Allah, the most magnificent and the most mighty. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 71, Brother Abu Maher, in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 71, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. Say, meaning to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me, if Allah made the night continuous for you, what I put there for the Qasas number 38, it should be 28, that's why there's the problem. This is 28, I'm sorry for the number, 2871. Say, O Muhammad, tell me, if Allah made the night continuous for you till the day of resurrection, which God besides Allah could bring you? Will you not then hear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an oath by the Fajr. Why? Because also there are legal matters that depend upon Al-Fajr. Like, for example, is to cease eating for those who intend to fast, which is called an imsak, ceasing to eat and drink before the dawn. Because when the dawn arises, then it is incumbent upon the Muslim who is fasting the Farida fast, meaning the obligatory fast, to stop eating and drinking, or if he is making an optional fast, if he wants to complete the fast, then also he has to stop eating and drinking. Also, what depends upon the fajr, the dawn appearance, is the commencement of the Salat al-Fajr, the timing. And these are great legal matters, most important of which is the entrance of the timing of the Salah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And that's why it is even more important in this respect that it should be considered, it has the highest priority to be considered, more than even the imsak, more than the ceasing of drinking and eating in the case of fasting. Because if we make a mistake or error concerning the imsak, which is the ceasing from eating and drinking, so suppose we make an error, then we can build upon the fact that al-aslu baqa'u al-layl, that it is still night time. However, with the case, if we commit the error with respect to the Salah and we pray before the real appearance of the Fajr, then we wouldn't have built that on something correct. Why? Because the continuity of the night is still there, and the fact that the correct timing of the commencement of the Salah did not take place. And therefore, if a person prays before the actual time of Salah by 1 minute, then his Salah is considered nafil, is considered optional, and therefore it is still binding upon him or her to come up with the obligatory or fard prayer. And here it is important to note that Muslims should give special attention to the commencement of the Salat al-Fajr timing. It is because many of the muazzineen, many of the callers for adhan, do that before the actual rise of Fajr, and this is wrong. It is not legalized. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It is not legalized to make the adhan before the actual timing, before its correct actual timing, meaning of the Fajr rising. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُؤَذِّن لَكُمْ أَحَدُكُمْ. If the Salah commences, meaning its timing, let one of you make the adhan. So if someone makes the adhan before the actual timing of the Salah, then his adhan is incorrect, and it's binding upon him to repeat it. Then this is the first oath which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, wal fajr, by the dawn. Now, with respect to the second one, walayalin ashr. Alright, fine. So by the 10 nights, okay, as you see here, there is the opinion that the 10 nights constitute the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah, or Dhul Hijjah, which is the next month. Now we are in Dhul Qa'dah, we are in the 11th month of Dhul Qa'dah, and it is to be followed by Dhul Hijjah, which is the 12th month of the Islamic calendar. And the Arabic language, it must be noted, is vast and comprehensive. Sometimes nights will be meant to mean days, and the opposite is true. So here, for example, as you see, by 10 nights, yet according to one opinion, that this refers to the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. The other opinion is that the Layali al-Ashr constitutes the 10 nights, the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. As to those who went with the opinion that these constitute the first 10 days of the month of the Hijjah, that is because these 10 days of the Hijjah are virtuous days. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that there are no days in which the righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days, referring to the 10 days of the Hijjah. And he was asked, not even jihad in the cause of Allah? He said, not even jihad in the cause of Allah, except for a man who goes and he makes jihad by himself and his wealth and then returns with nothing. As to those, and this is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, as to those who said that what is intended by the 10 nights are the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, they said that the basics for the term layali, nights, is that they refer to the nights and not the days, the basis in origin. Although, as we know that, the Arabs sometimes generalize. وَقَالُوا, and they said also, these special nights, in them there is Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, the night of the pre-decree, of the decree, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described as خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, better than 1,000 months. And in Surah Al-Dukhan 44, 3 and 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. Indeed, we sent it down, meaning the Quran, on a blessed night. We were even warning. Therein that night is decreed every matter of ordainments. And this saying is stronger than the first one, although the first one is the saying of the majority of the scholars. However, the wording, the term night, does not support their opinion. However, it rather supports the second opinion, that they are in reference to the nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an oath by these days because of their merits, and because in them there is Laylatul Qadr, and also with them the Muslims in the fasting of the month of Ramadan. And it is one of the duties, one of the fara'id in Islam, and it is one of the pillars of Islam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an oath by these nights. Now the third oath was والشفعي والوتر. Can we have that, please? By the even and by the odd. By the even and by the odd. It is said that this refers to all creation, because creatures are either even or odd. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, chapter 51, verse 49, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنَ, and of everything we have created pairs. That you may remember the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as to the acts of worship, al-ibadat, they are either even or odd. And thus, what is intended by al-shaf' wal-witr, the odd and even, or the even and odd, is everything created from the even and the odd, and all that which has been legalized from those legal matters that of worship that are even or odd. It is also said that in another saying, what's intended by the even is all the creation, and what's intended by witr, odd, is Allah Azza wa Jal, since He is one. And know that the term al-witr, there are two qira'at, two recitations, and both of them are correct. One of them is al-witr, and the other is al-watr bil-fath. So if you say, for example, wa-shaf'i wal-witr, then this is correct. And if you recite it as wa-shaf'i wal-watr, this is also correct. And therefore they said that in this case al-shafa is the creation, the even is the creation. Why? Because all creatures are of pairs. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ. And all of everything we have created pairs. How, and that al-watr or al-witr is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرُ. Allah is witr, odd, and He loves odd. And we know from the rulings of tafsir, which we talked about so many times when we talked about the basics of tafsir or fundamentals of tafsir, that if a verse could accommodate two meanings, then this verse, and in such cases that the two meanings are not in not opposing each other in meaning, therefore we can carry the ayah on both meanings. We carry the ayah on both meanings, and this is a very important fundamental aspect of tafsir. قال الله تعالى, then in the next verse, والليل إذا يسر. This, the second verse please, number 4, and by the night when it departs, during the night of course the layl moves, it starts from Maghrib time, the night, and ends by the appearance of dawn. So it departs and continuously in movement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an oath by the night, because of the meritorious hours of worship in it, like Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha, and Qiyamul Layl, the night prayer, and the witr prayer, and the like, and so forth. Not only that, also because the night is a great occasion. In this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends every night to the lower heaven when there remains the latter third of the night, and says subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأَعْطِيَهُ. Who is there to ask me, so I can give him. مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ. Who is there to invoke me, and I will respond to him. مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Who is there who will ask forgiveness from me, and I will forgive him. This hadith is in al-Bukhari. And that's why we say that this latter third of the night is waqtu ijaba, is waqt ijaba, meaning it is time for answering the invocation of the one who stands up to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this time. And therefore one should take this opportunity and therefore stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making tahajjud, invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating Him in whatever he wishes from the good of this life and the hereafter, so that he may encounter this hour in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, and therefore he will maintain benefits in this life and in the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ. هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ, meaning there is indeed in them these five oaths which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took, sufficient proofs for men of understanding, for those who contemplate, so that they should avoid all kinds of sins and disbeliefs. طيب, the next verse please. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. The next verse, verse 6 please. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. Verse 6 please. Did you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, not see, thought how your Lord Allah dealt with Ad people? إرام ذات العماد, who were very tall like lofty pillars. Okay, now this addressing here is open for all mankind. In fact, not only that, but for jinn as well. Meaning, don't you, not only to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, don't you see, you the one who is addressed, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with Ad? What did Allah do to them? And who are Ad? Ad is a tribe known in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula. To them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. بلغهم الرسالة. He conveyed the message to them. ولكنهم عتوا وبغوا. However, they were arrogant and transgressed and exceeded the limits. وقالوا من أشد منا قوة. They boasted arrogantly, saying, who is there more powerful than us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. See they not that Allah, who created them, was mightier in strength than them? This is Surah Fussilat 41, verse 15. So they boasted arrogantly and in false pride concerning their strength and might. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that they are weak, not able to stand the might and strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he said, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ. See they not that Allah who created them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here said, الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ, who created them, لِيُبَيِّنَ ضَعْفَهُمْ, in order to make clear their weakness, and that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is mightier in strength than them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah is greater and most mighty, mightier than all the creatures. So what happened? فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ 15:16, the same 41 now. Let's have the next verse please. 16 then, inshallah. Okay, Bay Yahda, you're also welcome. فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا صرصرا في أيام نحسات لنذيقهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ولعذاب الآخرة أخزى وهم لا ينصرون. So we sent upon them furious wind in days of evil omen for them, that we might give them a taste of disgracing torment in this present worldly life, but surely the torment of the hereafter will be more disgracing, and they will never be helped. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them the furious and violent wind سخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حسوما. He sent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them the furious, violent wind which Allah imposed on them for 7 nights and 8 days in succession. فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. So that you could see men laying overthrown, destroyed, as if they were hollow trunks of date palms. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنَهُمْ. Only their dwellings, what remained from their dwellings, that's the only thing that was left. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is turning the attention as to what these people did and as to what He subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them from His just punishment, so that people can contemplate and learn. Meaning here from this verse, O you the one who belies Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger, then take heed in the affair of those before you, how they tasted this punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned in Surah Hud in 1183, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa ta'ala wa barakatuh, وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. Our commandment to punish are not even far from the الظالمين, the polytheists and the evildoers. And then Allah says here, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. What is Iram? Iram. Let's go back to the verse inshallah, verse 6. It is said that Iram refers to the name of the tribe or to the name of the town, as well as other sayings. And whether it refers to the name, Naam, of the tribe or of the people, what's known is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a swift and intense punishment upon them, yet they were strong. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد, meaning the people, with the people of Ad. Oh, okay. ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. Let's continue. Whether they were as reference to the people or as a reference to the town. The like of which were not created in the land. These pillars. Nothing the like. Nothing like it was made. Very strong. And this is really what made them arrogant when they said, من أشد منا قوة, who is more mightier in strength than us. And we know now, look at the verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد, the like of which were not created. Look at this term, created in the land, yet it is made by of our dwellings. Yes, Taslim, yes. Yet we are discussing Surah Al-Fajr, chapter 89, Surah Al-Fajr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد, the like of which were not created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term created, yet it was a human action. And there is evidence therefore from this that a human may be described with the attribute of creation or creating, and therefore it will be said, for example, he created such and such. Like the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the picture doers, يقال لهم أحيوا ما خلقتم. On the day of resurrection it will be said to them, bring life to that which you have created from pictures. So here the Prophet ﷺ used the term created, although they were humans. However, the creation which is attributed to the creature is not the creation which is attributable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the creating which is attributed to Allah, He is Al-Khaliq, the creator, is to bring into existence from non-existence, as well as to transform and change. However, the creating which is attributable to other than Allah, attributable to other than Allah, is only a matter of transformation and changing. That's it. And take for example, هذا الباب من خشب, this door is from wood, and the one who created the wood is Allah, and mankind cannot create wood. However, they can change the trunks of trees and its branches, change that and transform into doors and chairs and the like. So therefore, the creating which is attributable to the creature is not that attributable to the creator, because that attributable to the creator is bringing to existence from non-existence, and none can bring this to occur. And that which is attributable to the creature is a matter of changing and transformation, taking something from one description or form into another. However, changing the essences is not possible, meaning to make gold silver, or make silver into iron and the like, this is not possible. This is only possible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the next verse, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And with Thamud, after telling us about the people of Ad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding about Thamud, the people of Thamud, who cut hewed out rocks in the valley to make dwellings for them to live in. And who are Thamud? Thamud are the people of Salih. They are the people of Prophet Salih, and their dwellings are known. They are known now. They are here, known in the northern, western part of Arabia. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about them in Surah Al-Hijr 15:18, وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْحِجْرِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And verily the dwellers of the Hijr, which is the rocky tract, belied the messengers. You see, Allah said about them, they belied the messengers, yet they only belied one single messenger, and this is Prophet Salih. And therefore we know therefore that belying one single messenger is belying all the messengers. And for one to come and say, I believe in Jesus but I don't believe in Muhammad, and I believe in Moses but I don't believe in Muhammad, he belied all of them. Also, we know from other places in the Quran that Thamud were in the land of Hijr, which is the rocky tract, and this is known. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ passed by their dwellings when he went to Tabuk, on his way to Tabuk. And Tabuk, as you know, is, if you have a map of Arabia, alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, barakatuh, you will see the city of Tabuk northwest. So if you are in Medina, you go north, you will go to the greater Syria area, Bilad al-Sham, and you will pass by Tabuk. It's a major city now. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by Tabuk, and when he reached that place, which is the dwellings or the rocky tract for of the people of Thamud, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam hastened and masked his face, his head, and he said, لا تدخلوا على هؤلاء القوم المعذبين إلا أن تكونوا باكين فإن لم تكونوا باكين فلا تدخلوا عليهم أن يصيبكم مثل ما أصابهم. Internet, the habitations of these people who were inflicted with punishment, except while weeping. فإن لم تكونوا باكين, in case you don't feel inclined to weep, فلا تدخلوا عليهم, then don't enter their habitations, lest that which touched them from punishment may touch you as well. This is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. These people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them power until they were able to dig houses, alaykum salam rahmatullahi wa ta'ala, in the mountain and strack, and in the magnificent rocks, making dwellings for them to live in. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them here, جَابُ الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ, جَابُ الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Let's have the verse back inshallah. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُ الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Thamud, the people, alhamdulillah, who cut and hewed out rocks in the valley, and this valley is known. Thus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent punishment upon them and torment. As we read in Surah Hud, let's go for these verses, inshallah. In 11, one by one, jazakumullah khair, 65 to 67. But they killed her. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them with the she-camel. In the verses that came before, we can read them so that we follow with the context. And to Thamud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we sent their brother Salih. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other God but Him. هو أنشأكم من الأرض واستعمركم فيها. He brought you forth from the earth and settled you therein. فاستغفروه ثم توبوا إليه. So then seek forgiveness of him and turn to him in repentance. إن ربي قريب مجيب. Certainly my Lord is near to all by his knowledge and responsive. قالوا يا صالح قد كنت فينا مرجوا قبل هذا. They said, O Salih, you have been among us as a figure of good hope, and we wished for you to be our chief. Till this, the new thing that you have brought to us, meaning to call them to Tawheed. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa ta'ala wa barakatuh. أَتَنْهَانَا أَن نَعْبُدَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا وَإِنَّنَا لَفِي شَكٍ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ مُرِيدٍ. Do you know, now you forbid us to worship of what our fathers have worshipped. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But we are really in grave doubt as to that to which you invite us to. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي وَآتَانِي مِنْهُ رَحْمَةٍ فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ عَصَيْتُهُ فَمَا تَزِيدُونَنِي غَيْرَ تَخْسِيرٍ. He said, O my people, tell me, if I have a clear proof from my Lord, and there has come to me a mercy, which is the prophethood, from Him, who then can help me against Allah if I were to disobey Him? Then you increase me not but in loss. Then he tells them of the sign, and this is the test. وَيَا قَوْمِ هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ آيَةً فَذَرُوهَا تَأْكُلْ فِي أَرْضِ اللَّهِ وَلَتَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُدَكُمْ عَذَابٌ قَرِيبٌ. And, O my people, this is the she-camel of Allah, is a sign to you. So leave her to feed, graze in Allah's land, and touch her not with evil, so lest a near torment should seize you. they did the opposite. فعقروها فقال تمتعوا في داركم ثلاثة أيام ذلك وعد غير مكذوب. But they killed her. So he said, enjoy yourselves in your homes for 3 days. That's it. This is a promise and this is a threat that will not be belied. فلما جاء أمرنا نجينا صالحا والذين آمنوا معه برحمة منا ومن خزي يومئذ إن ربك هو القوي العزيز. So when our commandment came, we saved Salih and those who believed with him by a mercy from us and from the disgrace of that day. Verily, your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all strong, almighty. And what was the torment? وَأَخَذَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. And الصَّيْحَةُ, the torment, the awful cry, overtook the wrongdoers. So they lay dead, prostrate in their homes. كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا أَلَا إِنَّ ثَمُودَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ أَلَا بُعْدًا لِثَمُودَ. As if they had never lived here. No doubt. Very Thamud disbelieved in their Lord. So away with Thamud. That's it. They were annihilated. So we have now to learn in the conditions of those who belied and whose end was complete destruction. And let it be known that this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will not be destroyed by the destructions that touched the general destruction, the annihilating ones that touched the nations before. This is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to destroy this ummah and annihilate it by a general punishment. However, this ummah may be destroyed by other ways, through discourse and fighting amongst it, some finishing others, not from something coming from heavens, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed with it the former nations. And therefore it is incumbent upon us to be aware and watch for the fitan afflictions, the apparent and the hidden ones, and that we keep away from everything that will turn people against each other, and that we always be calm and quiet and keep away from gossip and idle talk and too much questions. These three matters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade in the hadith which is reported in Al-Bukhari. And how many words we uttered that led to consequences similar to that or to those caused by the sharp swords. And thus we have to watch and be careful regarding afflictions. We should be an ummah that love each other and to forgive each other. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Fir'aun, after mentioning Ad and Thamud, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Fir'aun. And who is Fir'aun? Fir'aun is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for Musa alayhi salam. This Fir'aun humiliated the children of Israel in Egypt, killing their sons and sparing their women. As to why he did spare the woman, killing the children and sparing the woman, Some of the ulama, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, some of the ulama said that his associates told him, and his soothsayers told him, that there will be born from the children of Israel a man, and he will be your destruction. Your destruction will be on his hands. So he turned killing the children and sparing the woman. Other scholars are with the opinion that he did so so that he can weaken the children of Israel. Because if you kill the men of a nation and you spare the woman, then you will humiliate them, is no doubt. And it is not really far to conclude that both were valid reasons for his action. However, it was by the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this man upon whom Fir'aun's destruction was on his hands was raised in the same house of Fir'aun, in the household of Fir'aun. The wife of Fir'aun picked him up and raised him in the house of Fir'aun. And Fir'aun was arrogant in the land, and he argued and said, filled with false pride, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your most lofty Lord, most high. And he told them as well, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي, I haven't seen for you, I haven't known for you any other God other than me. And he told them, أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ, am I not better than this one, meaning Musa, who is despicable and can scarcely express himself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, فاستخف قومه فأطاعوه, so he befooled his people and they obeyed him, as in Surah Al-Zukhruf verse 54. And he proclaimed to his people أليس لي ملك مصر وهذه الأنهار تجري من تحتي أفلا تبصرون, isn't it mine the dominion of Egypt and these rivers flowing underneath me? Can't you see? Can't you comprehend? Surah Al-Zukhruf verse 51 and 54, both ayahs. So he was proud about these rivers, and this is water, and he was drowned in water. He was proud about water and he was drowned in water. Fir'aun, ذي الأوتاد, who had pegs, who used to torture men by binding them to pegs. And pegs, you know, refer to strength also, because his army was like, to him, like the pegs. And we know pegs are used to tie the ropes of a tent around it so that it will stand firm. So he had this army, nations from, like, magicians, priests, soothsayers, and the like. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything. بِالْأَوْتَادِ أَلَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ, 11 please, verse 11. أَلَّذِينَ طَغَوْا بِالْبِلَادِ, فِي الْبِلَادِ, sorcerers, yes, foretellers, magicians, you name it. Next verse please. Who did transgress beyond bounds, طغوا, in the land, disobeying Allah. طغيان is exceeding the limit, and it is like the saying of Allah in another verse, إنا لما طغى الماء حملناكم في الجارية. So when the water rose beyond its limits in the flood that occurred at the time of Nuh, Allah states, إنا لما طغى الماء, when the water rose beyond its limits, we carried you in the floating ship of Nuh, as in Surah Al-Haqqa, chapter 69, verse 11. Meaning when the water exceeded the limits, we carried you on this ship which Nuh alayhi salam made. So the meaning of Tagaw fil Bilad about the Firaun, that they exceeded the limits and transgressed against the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ 12, please. Verse now. فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ Verse 12 of our surah, 89, please. فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ Yes, and made therein much mischief. They made therein much mischief. Now, is this mischief, this type of mischief is non-physical in essence in the beginning, and which leads to the physical mischief. The evidence for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, in chapter 7, verse 96. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَى آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And if the people of the towns had believed and had taqwa, piety, certainly we should have opened for them blessings from the heaven and the earth. But they belied the messengers. So what was the consequence then? So we took them with punishment for what they used to earn from polytheism and so forth. And that's why some of the scholars are with the opinion that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf 7:56, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا, and do not do mischief on the earth after it has been set in order, they said, don't corrupt it with mischief by doing sinful deeds, wrongdoings, by your wrongdoings. And therefore here we know that فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ, that they had abundantly spread mischief. This mischief here refers to the non-physical aspect, but this one leads to that which is physical. And we know that from the previous nations we took them with punishment for what they used to earn, etc., that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought total annihilation upon them. However, with respect to this ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had lifted such punishment from upon it, and he made its punishment that in such ways that it may destroy itself. And thus the fighting that occurred between the Muslims and destroying one another is because of al-ma'asi, of sins and disobedient acts. Consequently, this lead to the fighting between them, and this will be a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the next verse, please. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. So your Lord poured on them different kinds of severe torment. So this was a torment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them and annihilated them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make in the example of those nations before a lesson for us, a beneficial one. and that we will be from those who are obedient to him, not from those who transgress. He is subhanahu wa ta'ala all able to do all things. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. 14th, please. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Verily, your Lord is ever watchful. And this address is not only to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this is for everyone who is fit to receive such an address. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that he is ever watching for everyone who wants to transgress and exceed the limits and disdain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely will take him and punish him. And there are many comparable meanings or phrases in the Quran like this, as in Surah Muhammad, verse 10. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ دَمَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ أَمْثَالُهُمْ. Haven't they walked through the earth and seen what was the end of those before them? Allah destroyed them completely, and a similar fate awaits the disbelievers. And also similarly, like the saying of Shu'aib, Prophet Shu'aib, to his people, as in Surah Hud 89, وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شِقَاقِي أَنْ يُصِيبَكُمْ مِثْلَ مَا أَصَابَ قَوْمَ نُوحٍ أَوْ قَوْمَ هُودٍ أَوْ قَوْمَ صَالِحٍ وَمَا قَوْمُ لُوطٍ مِّنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. O my people, let not my shiqaq means separation from you, enmity, anger, opposition, because of your disbelief in Tawheed. Let not my shiqaq cause you to suffer the fate similar to that of the people of Nuh, and of Hud, and of Salih, and the people of Lut are not far off from you. So the sunnah, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in those who belied the messengers, those who disdain from worshipping him, is that he is subhanahu wa ta'ala ever watchful over them. And this ayah indicates the severe and stern warning for those who disdain and don't submit to the worship of Allah or deny that which he informed of subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stop here at verse number 15. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فيقول ربي أهانا كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما. Inshallah, we go over these things in the next talk inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this effort from our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our effort in it as well. He is subhanahu wa ta'ala most generous, most merciful. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.